Well, as you saw in the video, we're in a summer series where we're going through Hebrews chapter 11, looking specifically at the heroes of the faith that we see outlined in Hebrews 11. So turn with me, Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be in the CSB version this morning if you want to follow along with me there. And as you're turning there, I just kind of want to do a little review. We've been in the series for about a month now. And if you remember, on week one, we started with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for, and the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved." And that's what he begins to do. He begins to show us the work of God through the ancestors, through those that came before us, and why they're written here in this chapter right here. And when we think of the ancestors of Hebrews 11, we think about men and women of great faith, the people that were joining with God, and the amazing works that we see through the Old Testament. I think a name that continually is going to come to the top of our list that we're going to think of when we think of faith is going to be Abraham. In fact, for Abraham right here, there's more verses dedicated in Hebrews chapter 11 to Abraham than there is anybody else. So as I come to that, I begin to ask the question, so why? Why does Abraham have the most verses, the most of his story written down in this chapter? And also mentioned so much throughout the New Testament. Because as we've gone through others in this chapter right here, we're going to see, well, you know what? Abraham, he actually wasn't the most blameless. We're going to see he wasn't the most perfect. He didn't make the most morally right decisions at every moment of his life. So why is so much time given to Abraham? Because the faith Hebrews 11 is talking about is a faith that we need to continually recognize is not dependent on us. It's not dependent on what we do. It's dependent on the work of God and what God is doing in us. And that's what God wants to see. As we come to Hebrews 11, it's easy to look at this and see all the people. But I want to challenge us as a church as we keep going through this to recognize God's not wanting us to see more of them. What God wants us to see is more of himself through them. This is a story about God's work and what God has done through the lives of the different people mentioned here in Hebrews 11. We want to see more of God this morning as we come to this. And so I want to remember where we started. In week one, as we were defining faith, we came to Ephesians chapter 2. We came to this verse that said, "For you are saved by grace through faith." And it says, "This is not from yourself. It's God's gift." It's what God is doing. It's God's work, it's not mine. And he's saying, you can't boast about it. Don't try and take credit for it. Don't try to make it sound like it's something that you're able to do and accomplish in yourself. Instead, to recognize it's because of God. And so instead of boasting about our faith, what we realize as we come into chapters like this, we maybe approach this more like 2 Corinthians 12:9, when Paul writes, he says, "But my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore, I will boast all the more gladly," check this out, "of my weakness." Why? "So that the power of Christ will rest upon me." And I want us to hold on to these verses today, especially 2 Corinthians here. Hold on, that I will boast more of my weakness. Why? "So the power of God will rest on me." Hold on to this, because this, I think, is the kind of faith that God wants us to see, that he wants us to understand about his work in our lives. That it's not about me being perfect. I'm going to fall. I'm going to fail. I am weak. But it's God's power in me as I submit to his power that he moves and he shows his amazing grace to us, that he writes his story in our lives as he wrote his story in the life of Abraham. So that takes us to Abraham's story. Hebrews 11. We're going to skip down from verse 1 all the way to verse 8. And we have two different mentions of Abraham in here. We're going to look at each of them. We're going to start with this first one here, Hebrews 11, verse 8. And it starts out like this. It says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed." Hold on to that word. "He was called and obeyed and set out for a place that he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." So what I want us to do this morning, to understand Abraham and understand what God would want us to see as God begins to tell a story, I want us to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Because I want us to go all the way back and look more at the complete life of Abraham. So turn with me all the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, where we see the very beginning of Abraham's story begin to unfold right here in these verses. Because when we come to the story of Abraham, Tyler mentioned this a little bit last week as he was talking about Sarah, Abraham's wife. We find that Abraham, God finds Abraham in the same place that he first finds all of us. Abraham wasn't yet a great man of faith. In fact, he was a man that worshiped idols. He was a man that had this mixed up of faith and understanding of who God is. And so it wasn't because of who he was being so righteous, so right, but it was about who God is. And what God wanted to do is God came and called him to see what God wanted to do, to give him the faith that he needed to obey. So this is how it starts out. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 4. Read this with me. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your land, your relatives, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you." And then verse 4, so Abraham went as the Lord told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he left Haran. Now, as we come to this verse, I will tell you, when I think of the life of Abraham, when I come and I begin this story, as Hebrews 11 also talked about it, this is the one that just grabs my attention. Like, I could stop right here and just be absolutely amazed at the type of faith that we see in this guy. I mean, think about this in a moment. He's in his home. He's with family. He's with friends. He's secure. He's doing well. Everything seems to be going right. And then God shows up. And God's like, "Abraham, I want you to leave every security that you know. I want you to leave what is comfortable. Leave what makes sense. Leave what might even make you feel safe and secure. And I want you to go where I call you to go." And I can't imagine what it must have been like for Abraham in that moment, called to do that, because it would have been costly. I mean, I think we sometimes put rose-colored glasses on. We read these stories and we're like, "Oh man, God had this great promise for Abraham. Of course he would go." But God's got great promises for us, but it's not always as easy. Because the thing is, Abraham, like us, he still had a sinful nature that he was battling with. He still had those feelings that he might have been wondering, and that would have been fighting, even saying, "Oh, but can you really trust God? Like, is God really going to do what he says he's going to do?" And then even as God speaks to promises, these are things that Abraham's not going to see right away. There's going to be time. There's going to be delay. They were far away, but when God called him, and this is an amazing thing, it just seems that he responded in faith. He's like, "All right, God. You say go, I go." And I will tell you, this is an absolutely the kind of faith I want to be able to see in my life as well. And so when you look at this, you got to say, with this kind of faith, you have to wonder, man, as he goes out, what could possibly stop this guy from living this absolute incredible life of faith? Well, the story keeps going. Keep going through chapter 12, and we continue there. We come to Abraham's next great challenge of faith. As he's coming to this place, as he's taking this huge step of obedience, as he's followed God where God wants him to go, things actually get kind of rough. Things aren't perfect, and it's a great reminder for us, is even as God calls us to obey, God's promise is not that things are always going to be easy. Things are always going to be smooth. The evidence of God, of our obedience, is not going to be everything's going the way we want it to go. And so what we see is we come to this story, a famine hits. So Abraham heads to Egypt. Pick it up in Genesis 12, verse 10. It says, there was a famine in the land. So Abram, who's Abraham, went down to Egypt to stay there for a while because the famine was in the land. It was severe. And he was about to enter Egypt. He said to his wife, Sarah, "Look, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me and they will let you live. So please say that you're my sister so that it will go well for me because of you and my life will be spared." And as we come to this story, you see at some point Abraham's in the middle of his journey and things start to not go as he expected maybe, or he had to respond to the situations around him. He heads to Egypt, and at some time on his way there, he begins to worry. The thought creeps his mind, "My wife is too beautiful." Boy, Abraham, life's really rough. I'm so sorry you're going through this, man. And in the middle of that, he begins to worry. And the thing is, what he begins to worry about his own skin. He's not worried about Sarah. Look what he says. He's like, Sarah, tell them you're my sister. Why? So that they don't kill me. So that this works out for me the way I want it to. So out of fear, fear kind of creeps in and it begins to challenge his faith. And what it does, it challenges his faith on God's sovereignty to take care of him in any of all circumstances, of God to protect his life in order to fulfill the promises that God has for him. But out of fear, he makes this plan. And because of what he did, verse 15 tells us that Pharaoh saw Sarah. Yes, she's very beautiful. And so he takes Sarah into his own home to be his wife. I mean, think about that for a moment. I will admit, this one's hard for me to grasp more. Out of fear, Abraham hands over his wife to another man to be his wife. And he let fear begin to challenge his faith that God would be the God that he is to protect him. And it didn't just hurt him, it hurt his wife. Because I want us to hear this morning as we continue through the life of Abraham to begin to understand this thing about fear. The greatest enemy of our faith is fear. The greatest enemy of our faith is here because fear robs us of faith. It just becomes this thing that begins to claw at the faith as it began to rob Abraham in this moment. But at the same time, this is where we keep coming back to God's grace. And we're going to see this theme over and over again in his life. That God, it didn't stop because his faith was struggling, because fear crept into his life. That didn't stop God from doing the work that God wanted to do, that God was about doing in his life. So in the moment of weakness, again, in the moment of weakness of Abraham, and he made a bad choice, but God's power was made strong. And as we continue this morning, I want us to hear this about faith, because I think this is important. Faith is not always the complete absence of fear. Faith is not always the complete absence of fear. Faith is when we choose to believe the promises of God, even as we're wrestling with fear, even as we're holding on to the unknown, and I don't know what's going to happen, and the temptation of fear keeps coming in, and I see this swinging back and forth in my own heart and mind, but faith says, I'm not going to let that control me. Instead, my battle of fear is not going to win. Instead, I'm going to fall and see God's power. And what happened here, even though Abraham fell, even though at this point fear seems to be winning, it did not stop God from showing his power and his mercy. And I want us to think of this statement as we go through this morning. Think of this right here. God uses even our fear. He uses our weakness to show us his power so that he can grow our faith. God's going to use our fear and our weakness to show us his power to grow our faith. And that's what God did. So God sends this plague on Pharaoh. Pharaoh realizes, oh my goodness, what's going on? Boy, this is Abraham's wife. He's like, Abraham, why did you do this to me? He returned Sarah to Abraham, and it could have been really messy. Could have been really messy right here, but God's grace and his power was in the middle of it. Even though Abraham was struggling in his weakness, God still showed up and showed his power. And God didn't abandon Abraham because of what he did. God's mercy and grace were there to help teach him to continue to grow in his faith, to have faith over fear. Now we skip forward, chapter 15. Some events have unfolded, and now we see God is coming again to Abraham. And it says this, verse 1. After these events, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Your reward will be very great. But Abraham said, Lord God, what can you give me since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? Abraham continued, look, you have given me no offspring, God, so a slave born of my house will be my heir. Now, I like how God starts this right here in verse 1. He comes to Abraham. First thing he says, hey, Abraham, do not be afraid. Why does God start with that? Why does God start with that? And we see God do this all the time throughout the Bible. He comes and he's going to give a challenge or a promise. He's going to call and invite somebody to something that God wants to do in their lives. And he starts out and he says, hey, don't be afraid, because God knows the power of fear. Because fear will often cause us in our own flesh to question God, even question what we see God has said, question what God is saying right there. And Abraham kind of does this as well. He says, Lord, what can you really give me? God says, this is what I'm going to do. And he's like, yeah, but Lord, don't you understand my situation? Don't you understand my circumstances? And how easy it is for us too, let's be honest in this moment, how easy it is for us. When we get in the middle of God calling us to something, but we look at the circumstances around us, the fear can lead us to doubt God. Yeah, God, I know who you are, but I don't know if this is going to quite work. Because fear in us when it seems to be at the forefront of our eyes, when we look at what makes us fearful, what happens, we're only seeing the physical realities of the world around us. And it's because we have taken our eyes off the supernatural reality of who God is. And when we take our eyes off the supernatural reality of who God is, and all we can see is the physical realities in front of us, yeah, that would make us doubt. Can God really do what he said he's going to do? Can he really accomplish it? But even right here in this moment, even as Abraham begins to debate with God, God doesn't drop the hammer. In fact, we see God's grace keep going. Look what he says next in verse 4. It says, now the word of the Lord, it came to him, came to Abraham. This one will not be your heir, not this guy over here. Instead, the one who comes from your own body will be your heir. And he took Abraham outside and he said, look at the sky, count the stars, if you are able even to count them. Then he said to him, your offspring will be that numerous. And then we come to verse 6. This is the famous verse about Abraham we see echoed throughout the Bible. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. You know, as we come to that verse, man, this is an amazing verse. This is where we think of Abraham. We think of this amazing guy of faith. But I want us to consider the journey that he was on to get there. It wasn't just instantaneous. He didn't just all of a sudden, God spoke and he believes. No, there's something that he had to walk through. He had to struggle with doubt. But he didn't land on doubt. It started with doubt, but it ended with faith as Abraham began to believe. But it wasn't a perfect faith. He's still wavering here in these moments. He struggled to get there. Again, that reminds us because it's about God's power in our weakness. Where God's going to show up and do a work in my heart, in mind that I can never do or accomplish on my own. And faith is often like this. It's something we do need to work out with God. I think in our Christian life that we have this perception that we have to put on this facade of absolute confidence, never wavering. Everyone must know I am a great man or woman of faith. Oh man, I can't let anybody see any doubt. And what we do is we end up hiding. We hide our fear from ourselves, even maybe living denial from those around us meant to walk life with us. And we end up pretending and even hiding our own fear, thinking we are hiding our own fear from God. And instead, what God invites us to do is to come to him, to run to him. Because when we live in fear and hide in it, it begins to creep in and take more power. It can begin to sneak in and cause us to have more doubt. But when we come to God and we engage like Abraham did, God, I'm not sure I see what you're going to do here. I'm going to tell you, God, I may be struggling a little bit to believe what you're leading me to, what you want to do in my life. So we run to God with this fear because that as we come and we confess our weakness, we boast to even God in our own weakness and our struggle in these moments, his power begins to move. That's 2 Corinthians 12. I boast to my weakness because when I'm honest and real about that, then God's power begins to work in my life. And so now you got to wonder, all right, he believed. He believed, man. Now we're at this point. The moment of faith is finally here, right? Fear has been vanquished, right? But look at the next chapter, chapter 16, where Tyler spent a lot of time on last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it this week. But we come to chapter 16, and we see where maybe fear creeps in again. Or maybe doubt creeps in a little bit more, and we see that this time there's some big consequences. As Abraham and Sarah are wrestling, they're like, well, we don't have a child yet. What's going on? Okay, well, maybe we need to like kind of step in and kind of help God. Maybe we got to come up with our plan to kind of accomplish what God wants to do. I mean, it's taken a long time. Maybe we just need to step in and do this. And so Sarah gives Abraham another woman who Abraham has a baby with. Fear kind of creeped in, and they began to take things into their own hands. And the thing is, when this happened, it does not turn out well. You can go back, and I want to encourage you this week to sit through Genesis 12 all the way through 24 and just sit in the life of Abraham. One long reading. Read through the whole story of Abraham. Look what we see as we see his life and see even the consequences of this moment. Because what happens is fighting breaks out in the family. There's a broken family. A son is sent away. It creates generations of war and conflict that some believe are still being felt to this day. And all of this because Abraham and Sarah, they were afraid that things were not happening in the timing they should have, and things weren't happening the way they thought they were going to and the way they were going to, so they took matters into their own hand. Because that's what fear does. As we doubt God, we then begin to try to take control away from God. begin to try to take things in our own hands instead of waiting and letting God do things in His way, in His timing. But again, we see that God's promise is not dependent on Abraham. It's not dependent on his perfect faith or his perfect righteousness. And we're going to see it's based on God showing his power in our weaknesses. Now we come to chapters 21 and 22. Skip ahead. Because as we come to these chapters, we're going to come to the climax of Abraham's story. This is where we see all that we've been kind of reading about, all that God has kind of been promising and interacting with Abraham and Sarah over the last many chapters, over the last many years, begins to come to fruition. Chapter 21, verse 2 says that Sarah became pregnant, finally happened, and they had a son, and they named him Isaac. He was the long-awaited promise. And I love, as this comes out, that you notice how God's promise was still fulfilled, even as they kind of wavered. Even as they kind of struggled, even when the moments they took their eyes off of God a little bit, that noticed that God was still faithful, even in moments where they weren't completely faithful. That God was still at work in their weaknesses, even when it seemed like they were just going to fall right on their face. And they had been through a lot, but God showed his power in their lives. And then we're going to come to chapter 22. And we're not sure how old Isaac was in this story. But God comes to Abraham, and he says this in Genesis 22, verse 1. Look at this with me. "So take your son," he said to Abraham, "your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about." Now, can you imagine being Abraham right here in this moment? It's finally happened. I mean, you've got to imagine, we read the joy. We heard about that last week with Sarah. The joy in the family, God's promises fulfilled. Yeah, the heir, it's Isaac. He's here. He's growing up. We're doing life. This is amazing. Thank you, God, for what we have. And then God comes to him. "Abraham, here, I got something for you. I want you to take your son." And I think it's really interesting how God says this. "Take your son," but he keeps going. "Your only son, whom you love. I know who this is, Abraham. I know how much he means this to you. He means to you. Here's what I want you. I want you to go and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountains that I will tell you about." And I can't imagine what must have been going through Abraham's mind. The fear of losing your son. The internal battle of obedience that must have been potentially happening here. I mean, I can tell you, I have a son. Just the concept of this, I don't think I can fully put my heart in that place. I don't think I can imagine what it must have been like for him in that moment to what he could have potentially been wrestling with. But yet, at this moment, it would make the most sense. If there was ever a moment I would say, "Abraham, I'd be afraid too. If you're not sure you're going to go all the way, I get it, man. Oh, I don't know if I could do this. I don't know how I could do this." But actually, in this moment, it was different than the times before. Abraham, he didn't question God. We don't see that dialogue. He didn't begin to debate God. He didn't offer God alternatives. He didn't question. Instead of Abraham, this time he was ready to obey. The fear didn't have the same power anymore. We continue on that story. We come to verse 9. They had journeyed here, and it says that when they arrived to the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac, and he placed him on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. I want us to pause here for a moment, because I think this is in this point in the story where God calls Abraham to sacrifice his son. Even as we read it, even as we even maybe know the ending, if you know the whole story, this is a very uncomfortable story for us. It's a very uncomfortable story to maybe tell other people about. Or I know that when people will come and unbelievers and they're reading the Bible, I've had these conversations. They come with like, "I don't get this. Why would God ever do this?" And it can begin to challenge our hearts about understanding God's kindness. It can even begin to challenge our hearts on maybe our own ability and willingness to really obey and believe and obey no matter what God asks. And the thing is that blows me away about Abraham. When he comes to this moment in his life, you know what Abraham did not have? He did not have an entire Bible of stories that he could go back to and see how God had been faithful from generation to generation to generation. Abraham didn't have what we have. He didn't have all these other things where we can look ahead and we can see how God had showed himself there and showed himself there and showed himself there so that we can, as we walk moments of faith crisis in our own life or when things get really hard, we can go back and look at these promises. Abraham only had one thing. He had his relationship with God. He had what he knew about God. See, Abraham's faith was rooted in the character and nature of who God was. See, even though he didn't have all the stories, even if he didn't have everything there in front of him yet, but he had his story. He had his story of God's faithfulness. He had his story where God had shown up in Abraham's own weakness, where Abraham had failed. And as God had showed Abraham his character more and more, as God has walked life with Abraham, and Abraham began to know God more and more, he comes to this moment, and what Abraham didn't have in a collection that we have in God's divine revelation to us in his word, Abraham had in what he knew in his own intimate relationship with God. He trusted who God was, even when it did not make sense. And this faith, I will be honest with you, I think is beyond any of us can fully imagine. I don't know if we can really fully understand what it must have been like to be Abraham in this moment. What it must have been like to even see his son's eyes as he puts him on the altar. What it must have been like as he begins to take that knife. I can't imagine. The fear probably was a battle for him in that moment. I can imagine, even as he was walking up the mountain, and his son even says, "God, where's the lamb?" And he's like, "God will provide," but I can't imagine that maybe in his heart saying, "God, I need you to provide," right? Because he's human. He's human. He battles like we do. And yet he kept going. This time, fear did not win. And we see that God brought an amazing victory in verse 11. Look at this. "But the angel of the Lord, he called out to him from heaven as he was raising that knife. Said, Abraham, Abraham. He replied, Here I am. And then God said, Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son from me. Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught up in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in the place of a son. And Abraham named that place, The Lord Will Provide. So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain." And as we come to this story right here, this part in the story, see the shift. As we've talked about the battle of faith and fear. Faith, fear because of the circumstances around us. Fear because of what we see in situations around us. See where God even comes to Abraham and says, what does he know in verse 12? "Now I know that you fear God." His eyes had shifted to the circumstances driving what maybe he reacted to. His fear was of who God is. His awe was of who God is. God's character, God's power, God's might, God's sovereignty, God's goodness, God's greatness, all of this wrapped up in Abraham's mind as he sees and believes in who God is, how God has revealed himself. This now becomes the driving force behind what he does and how he lives. Even this incredible act of faith. Incredible act of faith in this moment. And it was a work that God is doing him because of God's promises. And we see how God even describes this. Let's jump forward now back to Hebrews chapter 11. Jump ahead with me, Hebrews chapter 11. Because now we come, this is the second part in Hebrews that God describes Abraham to us. After we've looked at the whole story of Abraham's life, as we've seen that it began with what God talked about in Hebrews 11 with this great act of faith, and now we come where Hebrews 11 brings this climax to the story. And it says this in verse 17. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promise, and yet he was offering his one and only son, to whom it had been said, 'And your offspring will be called through Isaac.'" Look what he says in verse 19. "He considered God to be able to raise someone from the dead, and therefore he received him back," figuratively speaking. Think about what God is letting us see in these moments. Abraham had such amazing faith. As he walked up that mountain, guys, I don't think his brain was going to the ram being provided. He was expecting to do exactly what he thought he was going to do, to sacrifice his son Isaac. But his faith was so great. Remember we talked about that when fear comes in, what happens is it takes our eyes and all we see is the physical realm around us. We just see what's physically in the world around us. Our reality is limited. But what happened is God had been working in his life as fear no longer had that power over Abraham. What his eyes saw as it saw God, it saw the spiritual reality of God, the supernatural power of who God is. He believed so much, he said, even if I go up and do this, I know God's promises. I know who God is. God will raise him from the dead if that's what he's going to do, because God's going to do what God's going to do. And nothing's going to get in the way of what God wants to do. He believed. He saw God's power and saw God's work. In fact, even in Genesis 22, verse 5, as he's going up the mountain, even as he says to his servants, he says to them, hey, guess what? We will be back. He didn't say, I'll be back. He didn't say, I hope we'll both be back. He didn't say, see you later, guys. It's going to get awkward. He said, we'll be back because I believe God. Because I believe who God is, and I'm willing to obey no matter what, because I will obey God instead of me. I will obey God instead of my fear. I will even obey God instead of my own comforts and my own desires and what makes me happy. This is the incredible faith that we see in his life. Abraham's faith had shifted. It had grown. His eyes stopped looking just at the reality of the physical world, but to the spiritual world. He saw God's power. Because we recognize, guys, as we go through our own faith journey, come back to our key statement this morning, God uses our fear. He uses our brokenness. As Paul said, when we see our own weakness and stop trying to boast in our strength and our power, but instead we boast and say, God, I am weak, and we cry out to God, then God shows up. God shows up and shows us his power. And as we see more of God's power, as Abraham saw more of God's power, it grows our faith and our eyes continually see more of who God is. I want us to look back real quick at beginning of chapter 11, Hebrews 11. At the very beginning, I want you to look at this. Verse 8 says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. But look at what he says, closes with verse 10. Four. So why was he able to obey? Why was this going on? Because even in all of his battles, where he was looking forward to the city that has its foundations, whose architect and builder is God. See, what Abraham was doing, and in this moment we see it so beautifully played out in Isaac, his eyes, he was looking forward to who God is. His eyes were fixed on God. His eyes were fixed on God's promises. His eyes were fixed on God's character. His eyes were fixed on who God is. Guys, this is the essence of faith. This is the type of faith that God is calling us to. And you know what? He was flawed. Sometimes his eyes, they lost track of who God was. Sometimes his fear took over. Sometimes he doubted. Sometimes he had tried to take things into his own hands. Guys, it wasn't a perfect faith. But in the end, as Abraham continued to submit to God, as he kept coming back to God, as God's grace and mercy kept showing itself in Abraham's life, I believe his eyes more and more just kept on who God was. And he found his strength and his power in not believing he somehow had it all together, but in recognizing it's because of who God is. His strength and power was in who God is, regardless of his weakness. This is why I think his name is mentioned so much. This is why I think he gets the most attention in Hebrews 11. Because of his heart. His coming back in his brokenness to seeing God's work done through his faith. Guys, this is the faith of the flawed. And we got to hear this. This can be our faith as well. Like, we don't want to say, well, hey, everyone's broken, screw up, I guess I can just stay there. That's not what I want to do. We want to see the way that God took Abraham's life, but we acknowledge there's kind of a roller coaster there. You see that? Does your life feel that way? Do you struggle even with guilt sometimes? Like, I don't have enough faith? Do you struggle wrestling with maybe what God has called you to do? And you're just like, I just can't seem to muster up enough, and I just can't seem to do what I know God's called me to. You know what it's time to finally do? Time to just boast in your weakness and come before God and say, God, I want to believe, but help me with my unbelief. God, I am weak. It's good to boast in our weakness. Last couple weeks have been totally crazy for me. I did not get the time I would have wanted. the focus, the prayer time I would have wanted in prepping for this message this week. And as I was praying this morning, I'm just like, oh yeah, God, maybe I'll just boast in the fact I'm weak. I just need you to show up, please. I need you to do, because I don't feel I can do anything that you're asking me to do, but I know you can. I want to ask you a couple questions. Would you close your eyes with me? Bow your heads. I want us to take just a couple of minutes as we come before God. To think of the life of Abraham, I want to just ask this question and ask the Spirit to come and reveal this to us. Where are your eyes looking right now? Is there something that is taking your eyes off of Jesus and that is taking your attention to where fear or doubt is beginning to creep in? You're not sure you're willing and ready to really obey. Is there fear robbing you of faith that God is calling you to? Maybe you actually fear the cost. Maybe it's like Abraham, he says, just go. And you're just hearing that. You're like, yeah, this is going to be risky. This is scary. I like what I have. I want to just invite you to just get real with God this morning. Confess where you're struggling with faith. Confess where you're struggling with doubt. But then on the other side, I also want to invite you to really reflect. Maybe you see your own failures, but maybe you just see your failures and you feel the guilt and you feel the shame and you're like, I'm just not good enough for God. And where we also need to come to a story like this and realize none of us are good enough for God. It is because God is so good in his holiness and his righteousness, in what Jesus did on the cross, in his power, not ours, that he invites us to be a part of what he is doing. And maybe you just need to say, God, I have let my own guilt and shame stop me from relying fully on you, from boasting of my weakness to see your power work in my life. And yeah, in the middle of all this, church, I want to take back, because there may be someone in this room watching online and you haven't began that first step. You maybe see who God is. You've seen parts of God. You've heard about God, but you haven't actually said, Lord, I believe, as Abraham said, I believe who you are. I believe that I've sinned and I have sinned against a holy God. I believe my sin separates from you, myself from you. And I believe that Jesus came and died to pay that price and that you have called me to surrender my life to you through Jesus. And if you haven't done that, that is the great act of faith that God calls us to. And I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Just you and God. I'm going to be back in the prayer corner in a few moments, and I'd love to pray with you, talk with you about this. If you want to pray, come back with someone else. You can pray with them or just spend time with you and God right here as well. But I would just want to encourage you, let's meet with God this morning. Be reminded of his great faithfulness. For God, we need you to show us more of you and less of ourselves. God, as we began this morning, it's not about the faith of Abraham. It's about the amazing God that gave him the faith. God, that we would see more of you, your power at work and our weakness. In Jesus' name.